This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. When the Israelites showed up in the city of Jericho, one woman faced an incredibly difficult choice. Two Hebrew spies came to her home, and she had to pick which side she would take. Will she side with her city, or will she side with the spies and their God? Today, Pastor Sam Horn will conclude a sermon from James chapter 2 titled, The Gospel According to Rahab. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
And the very piece of land, the Eretz, that God is talking about with Abraham 400 years earlier is the ground that Rahab is living on. It's the city of Jericho and the land of Canaan. And Rahab says, I know who your God is, and I know that he has decided to give you this entire country, including this city. And she said this, I also know that your God has sent great terror into the heart of the men of this city. She said, I know that great fear has fallen on us and all the inhabitants of land melt away before you. So here's her confession. It comes out of what she believes and what she knows. And that brings me to a question I had. How did she know this? How did a pagan woman in the city of Jericho know all of this? How did she come to know about Yahweh? How did she know? Well, she knew because somehow God had brought across her path the word of God. Well, Paul is going to say later, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And there was a word of God that God had given to Moses 40 years earlier, and it's written down for you in Exodus 15. And somehow that song had wandered throughout the land. As Israel was wandering in the wilderness, this inspired song that Israel sang had wandered and made its way throughout the land. And it had come to Jericho, and Rahab had heard it, and the Spirit of God had caused her to understand it. And so she heard the word. And then she heard the report. She knew that as this nation encountered enemy after enemy after enemy in the wilderness, God had overcome not just the armies of Pharaoh, but he'd overcome every army that had stood in their way up to the last two, these two Amorite kings that were well known in her region. And they had been totally destroyed by God through his people. The only time the Israelites suffered a defeat militarily in that wilderness wandering is when they committed their rebellion against the Lord. And Rahab had heard of all of this. But I think there was another way that Rahab heard. I think that God had sent to Jericho two messengers. It's interesting to me as you study the scripture and as you kind of look at when God sends judgment to a city. For example, when he sent judgment to Sodom in Genesis, he sent ahead of that judgment two men to warn the city of Sodom to repent. If you go forward past Rahab all the way hundreds of years later to a judgment God was going to bring on an entire wicked city called Nineveh, before he brought that judgment, what did he do? He sent a messenger named Jonah, albeit an unwilling one. So here are two messengers, and I personally believe, this is my opinion, and you're not obligated to my opinion since I'm marking it out as my opinion, but I believe the reason that James uses the word messengers to describe these two men is because of what Joshua was sending them to do. I think he was sending them to Jericho to announce the coming of judgment and to urge people in that city not to trust their gods and not to trust their walls and not to trust the city that had stood for 1,000 years. But to repent. And of all the people in that city, there was one person who heard and who believed. And it was a town prostitute. And you know what she did? She turned from her idols to serve the living God and to wait for the coming of Joshua to deliver her. Does that sound like any New Testament passage you know? 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Paul says this is exactly what happens when pagan people hear the gospel. They turn from their idols to serve the living and the true God, and they wait for the coming of his son from heaven. And that son is another Joshua, Jesus. This is a stunning story that happens. And so she believes in her heart, and she confesses in her mouth. And here's what she says in verse 11. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That's a stunning statement to come out of the mouth of an idolatress. She's not just saying to the two men, hey, we know that your God, Yahweh, is a really powerful God. She's actually saying something about her gods. She's actually observing that the God she serves, the idols of Jericho, aren't gods at all. That there is really only one true and living God, and his name is Yahweh. This sounds remarkably like the opening lines of what Moses is going to give in Deuteronomy that you and I know as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One. And the idea there is not just that he is a triunity, it's the idea that there are no other gods, period. Rahab has turned away from her idols, and it's very evident by her behavior to the spies that she has turned away from the things she would have normally done to try to gain favor with these men. And there's a Bible word for all of this. It's called repentance. I believe that we see here in the life of Rahab, not just a confession with her mouth that comes out of convenience. Hey, there's a big army. It's going to come, and I don't think we're going to win. So you know what? I'm going to side with you. I don't think that's what's going on here at all. I think Rahab has become convinced in her heart that there is a true God, and his name is Yahweh, and he is offering her liberty and life and freedom. And she takes it. Because what you see next is in Joshua 2, verses 12 through 4, her bold appeal. And it's actually described in language of promise. This is covenant talk. She says, please swear to me by the Lord. In other words, she wants a formal relationship. Pardon me. She wants a formal relationship with God and with his people based on her faith in God, based on his word and based on the warning. She wants a personal alignment with him. And she wants loyal kindness from him, the word hesed, which is the word we looked at in Ephesians when we were going through the book of Ephesians. It's the word so closely tied to shalom. God has exercised kindness, loyalty to us, and Rahab is saying, I want that. I want that. Based on the loyalty I saw God do with your people, he chose them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt. He's been kind to them the entire time they have wandered in the wilderness. Even when they rebelled against him over and over and over again, God was kind to them. I want that kindness. I want that loyalty. And she says, now, because I have been kind to you, would you also deal kindly with me? You know, folks, honestly, I don't think Rahab could have looked at her whole life and said, let me describe my whole life to you. It has been a life of loyal kindness. I don't think that's it at all. I think Rahab is looking at a moment when she came to realize the truth about God and the truth about his people, and she has acted in a completely different way than she would have ever acted before. And she said, based on my repentance, based on what I have done, based on the kindness that I have extended to you, based on the loyalty, that's the idea, based on the loyalty that I have given to you. She's not talking about her good works here. There weren't any. She's not talking about her moral past. There wasn't a moral past. She can't point to this like life of sort of civic duty and civic service. All she can say is, I have aligned myself and I have acted in loyalty to God and in loyalty to you. And on the basis of what I have done, would you swear to me that God will be loyal to me? And by the way, that's exactly what you and I did when we came to Jesus Christ and we said, based on our belief in you, because we can't point back to a life of good works. We can't point back to our stand before God. All we can do is say, I have come to believe the truth about Jesus Christ and I have aligned myself with him. I have chosen my side. And that's what Rahab did. She chose her side. She could have sided with the king. She could have sided with the people who were convinced that the city walls that had stood for 1,000 years would stand again. And all she knew was that she had heard this song that had been written 40 years earlier that talked about the Egyptian army, and she'd heard the story about these two kings, and now these two men are here warning her, and God opens her eyes, and she believes, and she says, I'm picking my side, and I'm choosing Yahweh. I'm choosing God. And by the way, that's exactly what happened, isn't it? When God opened your eyes and you saw all of your sin and you saw all of your own righteousness, the walls of your own city that you thought would one day sort of give you protection from the wrath of God, and all of a sudden all of that vanished and you said, I am going to side with God through the gospel. And that's exactly what happened to Rahab. And in verse 14, you find out that the men said to her, if you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Behold, when we come into the land, you will tie the scarlet cord in the window to which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all of your household. And then they go on in verses 19 and 20 to just reiterate the importance of her being faithful to her faith. And in verse 21, she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. So here's this woman. She hears the warning the spies bring. God opens her eyes. She turns from idols to serve the living God. She aligns herself with them. And then the two men leave, and she has to stay in the city and wait. And she doesn't really know what's going to happen. She knows what she's done. She knows what she said. She's got the promise of these two young men who are spies. And now she's got to hang her entire future on what they said to her. She could go to the king and say to the king, you know what? Actually, I have some information that you really might want to know. Those two men actually came to me, and here's what they said, and here's what they're doing, and I'm going to give you this information. She could have done that. She could have renounced. She could have thought it over. She could have said, you know what? I know there's a big army out there, but we got a big city here. We got these walls. And our city hasn't been defeated, and so you know what? Actually, I'm gonna stay in the city, and I'm gonna realign myself. Or she could have said, you know what? I'm gonna sort of have a foot in both worlds. I'm gonna keep doing my prostitution business. I'm gonna run my brothel. I'm gonna keep living just like I lived. And so if the city ends up standing and the army of Israel is defeated, I haven't lost anything. But if the army defeats the city, I'm already aligned with there, so now this is going to be really convenient for me. She doesn't do any of that. She has aligned herself, and the entire time she waits for Joshua, she is faithful. And she throws this red cord out of her window. The word for cord is the same word in the Hebrew Bible that you would use for hope. She throws a cord of hope out the window. And the word hope, as we've learned, as we've gone through James and Ephesians together, isn't like, well, I just hope that, you know, I kind of hope this weekend will not rain. How many of you hope that this week? It's Memorial Day, 3-day weekend. It's going to be awesome. I don't want it to rain. And so I'm kind of hoping it won't rain. That's not the idea. The idea here is confidence. Rahab is saying, I am putting my confidence, I put my confident expectation in the word of these two men, and here is the evidence of that. I'm announcing it through this red cord that is hanging out the window. Can I give you my personal opinion on this? I think everybody saw that red cord. And I think there were times, personal opinion, right? I think there were times during that period of time when people came to Rahab and said, why do you have that red cord hanging out your window? This is not the time for you to be advertising what you do. And I think Rahab actually told people why she had that cord hanging out a window. Because I put my confident expectation in the God of Israel. So that brings me to the next thing, and that is, as we kind of wrap our time up here, was there a salvation for her? Was there a salvation for her? Her gracious salvation is recorded in Joshua chapter 6, verses 22 through 25, and in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, and in James chapter 2. She was redeemed and rescued in spite of her past. She was rescued by her faith, right? By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. Disobedient to what? Disobedient to God. Disobedient to the message of the spies. And she was rewarded for her faith. Listen to Joshua. So the young men, verse 23, who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Verse 25, but Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy. And that brings me to the final thing, and that is this, her glorious standing. You know, it's one thing when you're the town prostitute and everybody knows who you are and what you've done, and there's this past that you can never run away from. And by some stroke of fortune, you escape the destruction of the city. By the way, the destruction of the city happened exactly the way God said it would happen. Israel's army crosses over, and 3 days after they cross the Jordan River, they're walking around the city walls for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, the trumpets sound, the men in the army shout, and the walls of the city fall flat. And there, you can go to Jericho today, and you can see evidence of that in the archaeology there in the ruins of Jericho. And there is one place where the northern section of the wall is still standing. And we believe that's where Rahab's house would have been. And so God brings Rahab out, brings her to Joshua. She stands before Joshua, and Joshua says, now take her and put her outside of the camp. Why take Rahab and put her outside of the camp? Well, there are a number of reasons for that. Number one, she is a Canaanite. She is not an Israelite at this point. And number two, she's a prostitute. She's unclean on two counts. And so she is brought outside of the camp. She's included in the rescue, but she's not included in Israel. But there is this piece of data in Joshua chapter 6 where all of a sudden she's living in Israel. In other words, she is now a part of Israel. How did that happen? How did that happen? And the answer is grace. She's brought into Israel. And she's not just brought in and given a back seat somewhere in the back tents of Israel and said, like, why don't you just go back and don't tell anybody where you're from and don't tell anybody what you did. God is not ashamed of Rahab. And you know the story in Matthew chapter 1. She marries one of the men in the leading tribe of Israel, in the tribe of Judah, a man named Salmon. And they have a son, and his name is Boaz. And Boaz marries another Canaanite, Moabitess, named Ruth, and they have a son and a grandson and a great-grandson. And the great-grandson they have is King David. And later on, down the line, comes Messiah out of this woman named Rahab. Let me close with this. You know, Pastor Ben, when he was talking to our kids this morning, said, he mentioned your family tree, right? You have a family tree and I have a family tree. And here's the thing about our family tree. We don't get to pick it. We don't get to choose who's in that tree. I mean, if there's crazy Uncle Eddie in that tree, we just got to live with it. We didn't pick that, right? If we got this weird aunt or this, you know, wacky person in there, you know, if you go back far enough in your family tree, there's probably people in your family tree you're like, whoa. You didn't pick those. There's only one person in the history of mankind who's had the ability to pick his ancestors, and it was Jesus. Jesus, as the second member of the Trinity, had some say in his family tree. And it's stunning to me that he picked Rahab. Remember one of James's big messages? With God, there is no what? There is no partiality. So what do you do with a message like this? Well, you marvel at the beauty of God's mercy. And you receive the power of God's grace. You marvel at the beauty of God's mercy, and you receive the power of God's grace. What do you mean by that? I would say it to you this way. It doesn't matter what your past is. Your past does not determine your future. It doesn't matter what your past is. Your past does not determine your future. It didn't determine Rahab's future. Her past did not stop God's work in her life, and it didn't determine her future. And your past will not determine your future if you bring your past to the gospel. You got to bring your past to the gospel. And here's the second thing. Your past is your past. Your past is your past. But your past can be redeemed into a thing of beauty for the gospel. Your past is your past, but your past can be redeemed as a thing of beauty for the gospel. Remember I said every time you read about Rahab in the Bible except one, she's called Rahab the what? Rahab the harlot. Her past is her past. You say, man, I'm trying to get away from my past. I'm trying to forget my past. I'm trying to just absolve my past. I wish my past had never happened. I wish. And God says, no, wait a minute. You can't change the past, but you don't have to stay chained to it, because I can take that past and I can make something beautiful of it that will actually advance the messianic mission. Rahab, I can take your past and I can use it to glorify the fact that Messiah is not ashamed to call you his mother. Whatever your past is, and all of you have a past, your past doesn't have to stay your past in the sense that it's something you're ashamed of. Your past can be redeemed so that it becomes something beautiful because of the grace of God. And so as we think of the story of Rahab, it's the story of how a woman of disgrace became the model of the beauty of grace. And that's really our story, all of us, because with God, there is what? There is no partiality.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.